a strong community consensus came together about the importance of getting this facility built in a way that serves both individual and the neighborhood. Helping people end their homeless and dependence on the street and the sidewalk downtown, and helping the neighborhood by giving people a dignified place to gather rather than in a long queue along the sidewalk prior to be able to go inside. Although the neighborhood and the local business were looking forward to retail space along the light rail line in the original full block design, I'm confident that HAP will conduct another positive community process during phase two of the development of adjacent HAP block. HAP has always committed to a good neighbor agreement with the nearby business residents and the neighborhood leaders. I'm confident that we will end up with both beautiful building and a thoughtful plan day-to-day operations and management that will again showcase Portland as a model for the neighborhood livability. Livability is for all our residents. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor Adams, commissioners, and welcome. I'm sorry I wasn't able to meet with you last week. I was visiting my mother. So
those are important.
She has Alzheimer's. It's really important. Okay. I have to remind her who I am as much as I can right now. But I do appreciate being able to be here today. I've been working on this project for over 4 years now. And I have more plans in my office that are piling up what this building could look like and would look like over the years. That it's pretty amazing how many trees went into that. But nevertheless, I think the current incarnation of this plan is beautiful. I was somewhat skeptical. They, for some reason, made a decision to review this while I was in Peru for a month and changed from a full block to a half, but I came back and looked at it and thought, okay, this really does meet our needs. We had some discussions with the architects who are wonderful. They were able to adapt some of the changes to the needs that we wanted. Primarily the whole premise on building this building, besides the need for the homeless, was also, as Stephen just said, to deal with the issue of queuing. And so the courtyard was the primary focus of this building at the beginning. And that courtyard is fabulous. The architects have done a wonderful job. We have, and I understand, Commissioner Fritz, that you asked, and Mike, and both Mike and Bud have talked about this, that we had meetings with our clients, with the residents of the shelters. And I did this actually about a year ago when the first plans came out. I went to a house meeting, which I conduct every year with all of our shelters, with all of the people. And so we went to each one of the shelters and showed them the original plan, and they were thrilled. And as Bud said, one of the primary comments that came out is, can we work on this project? Can we work with the architects? I mean, not the architects, the builders. And so we have one of the questions that I saw that you asked before was access to what? And Nick, you were wonderful. You came and you served dinner with your daughter, and you met the clients, and you've all met them, and they want to work. They want housing. They want access to their independent lives, and that's what this building will be able to offer them. And it has been a lifelong dream to get this building done. Seems like a lifelong dream. I said when this building is done, I'll retire, and thank God it wasn't done, because now with the economic situation, I can't retire yet. But that's the only light in this that's taken so long. But I do recognize the conundrum of during economic downturn that we're asking for a lot of money for this building. But because of the economic downturn, it's never been more important. And that's the conundrum that we're all facing. But it is a critically important building, and I really urge you to support Commissioner Fish and the rest of us on this project. Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments or questions from council for this panel? Thank you all very much for your testimony. Mayor Clark.
Thank you.
How many people have we signed up to testify?
It was just those three.
Okay. Anyone else in the room wishes to testify on the Resource Access Center proposal? Hearing none, let's move to roll call.
Fish?
Thank you, Mayor and members of the council. I want to begin by piggybacking off of what Dorian Binder said, that this process has been unfolding over many years. And I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge the leadership that former City Commissioner Eric Sten brought to this endeavor. I want to acknowledge his pivotal role. And I want to also acknowledge that during some of the challenging times last year, Commissioner Leonard played a particularly critical role in keeping this process on track and helping to mediate between various groups that had, in my view, very sincerely held and legitimate concerns that needed to be bridged. We're now at this moment, and this is an important moment because as a council, we share many values. One of the most important values that this council shares is that everyone in our community deserves a safe and decent and affordable place to call home. And we will not stop until everyone in our community is housed. And everybody has the right to get on that path to self-sufficiency. It's not only the morally right thing to do, it's the pragmatically right thing to do. It's the decent thing to do, and it is why I am especially proud to be the housing commissioner for a city that is willing to put its money where its mouth is and fund innovative plans and programs to bring dignity to people who have so little in our community. When you take a look at this particular proposal that is before the council, there's a lot to like. It's a milestone. It's another important marker in meeting the objectives of our 10-year plan to end homelessness. And Mayor Clark, you know about plans to end homelessness. You launched an ambitious plan which laid the groundwork for this 10-year plan. It will be one of the greenest buildings in our community and possibly the greenest public building, which is, as Commissioner Saltzman notes, very important both in terms of what we require but also in terms of brand Portland, what we are saying to the rest of the world about the investments we're making in public and private buildings. This particular building enjoys broad-based community support, and it was hard won. This didn't happen overnight. Skeptics have been converted, and I want to compliment all of our team for doing the extra work of going out. And one of my favorite expressions in life that's applicable to this is that the longest distance between two points is a shortcut. And how many times in our community outreach process have we learned that when we choose that shortcut, it comes back to bite us? And so this process, and to Harriet and to Mayor Clark, thank you for your leadership and all the time you put into that process. This building will be a catalyst. You know, we are stuck in this rut that says affordable housing doesn't enhance certain neighborhoods. And time again, we learned that that's not true. Just go to the New Columbia in North Portland and look at the prices that the prices on resale of homes that were built in that development. Those homes are becoming unaffordable because the marketplace tells us people want to live in quality homes in a mixed income development. So this building can be a catalyst for the continuing revival of this stretch of Broadway, but I know my colleagues will have creative ways to guide us in how we can spend the $250,000 in arts dollars that can be used to enhance this development and to brand this building as truly a gateway to this new Broadway. It's a beautiful design. And for those of you looking at the pictures thinking you've seen a building like this, you have. Because Holst Architecture is doing beautiful, innovative work throughout our community. And next time you are in the Pearl District and you go by the 937 building, which is beautiful, think of Holst. And next time you're in Belmont and you're across, Randy, from the old historic firehouse there, and there's that beautiful building that's going up, think Holst. And Holst is meeting incredible standards of aesthetics and design and sustainability throughout our community, and I think they have given us a building we can be proud of. And finally, this process has resulted in a fresh look where I believe what the proposal before you today is better and smarter and more cost-effective than what we originally had on the drawing board. And that's because we had to go back and take another look because it didn't pencil out. And by going to a half-block concrete building, urban form, I think we have put before you a building that is more iconic and more beautiful, and that, frankly, for the people we will be serving, will be especially attractive. Our goal in all of this is not to build buildings and to expand services for the sake of building buildings and expanding services. Our goal is to help low-income residents in our community overcome obstacles in their life and get on the path to self-sufficiency. That's what drives us. We are not just building units and saying that's enough. This is a pathway to something better. And we have to continually evaluate our progress in terms of that formula, because this will not be as successful unless we continue to build the permanent housing and provide the good jobs that are waiting at the other end to allow people to become self-sufficient and enjoy what we enjoy, which is the opportunity to make our own decisions and defend for ourselves. So if this council supports this IGA, I will go to PDC tomorrow and present on behalf of the council. And I'm prepared to do so because I want to make a very clear statement of a new partnership that exists between council and PDC. And I think it would be appropriate for the Housing Commissioner to lead the presentation and to seek the support of our partners at PDC in this effort. I'm going to close with something that inspired me the other day when our president was inaugurated. But before I do that, I just want to acknowledge Sally Erickson. Sally, if you could raise your hand. She is the homeless coordinator for the City of Portland. Steve Rudman, if you would raise your hand. He is the executive director of the Housing Authority of Portland. And I want to just thank everybody who has come together to make this happen. But I want to close by quoting our president. And I am running out of space to put inspiring quotes that I can attribute to him. But it turns out every time he gives a speech, he says something that touches me and perhaps you. And it speaks to the challenges that we currently are dealing with our economy and with our flagging spirit as a country and with our uncertainty about where we're headed. And he said something very beautiful in his speech last Tuesday that I want to quote. He said, "Today I say to you that the challenges we face are real, they are serious, and they are many. They will not be met easily or in a short span of time. But know this, America, they will be met. And in urging your approval today of this ordinance and this IGA, we will be able to say to our community that homelessness is a challenge that we acknowledge, that is real, and that it will not be solved easily or in the short term. But know this, fellow citizens, we're up to the challenge, and we will meet that challenge." I'm great pride, I vote aye.
Fritz.
Well, Commissioner Fish, I commend you for your work on this. When I think that you were elected in May of 2008, and here it is, just January of 2009, and it's shovel-ready, and here we are approving not only the project, but a revised project and an improved project. And you have put an enormous amount of energy personally into this, and I respect that. I also think back to about a year ago when we had a packed chamber in this very room of people very concerned about the whole process for this project. And here today, I'm looking out and I'm seeing a lot of smiling faces and nods. I'm seeing one representative from the Old Town Chinatown community who came to say that they support this project. And I didn't see people needing to take time off work and away from their other pursuits to come down to argue or to do anything about this project because it's moving forward and because there is consensus. And this is exactly the kind of community process that we need to be aiming at, that when things get to City Council, that the work has been done. I do thank the staff for going to the shelter just on Monday to talk with folks who are going to be served by this, that everybody has been included in this, and it's an excellent project. I'm noting that this intergovernment agreement doesn't commit city funds. It expresses the city's commitment to work cooperatively to fund the future operational needs. It's very important that we have that on the table right now. The city is responsible for housing, and the county has in the past been responsible for services, but if we only provide housing without supportive services, it doesn't turn out to be cost effective. So we do need to find the funds to provide the support once it opens, and I will work hard to make sure that happens. Commissioner Fish, you joked about the Hooper detox and the getting the funding for that, but we did receive a memo from Chair Wheeler this very week talking about the funding from the Portland Development Commission for the capital improvements at Hooper, and that's important too. So when you're talking with Portland Development Commission, it's the partnerships that we have are between the city and the county, the Portland Development Commission, the social services providers, all of our community partners, our neighbors, our volunteers. I want to thank the volunteers on the Housing Authority of Portland. We had some more volunteers coming in for committees earlier today, and you put an enormous amount of work and take an enormous amount of grief, and I thank you very much for all the service that you give to the city and to our citizens. I'm very pleased with this. It's come a very long way in a very short time, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Leonard.
Well, I'm going to initially make a couple remarks that are not relevant to the issue at hand, because I'm just compelled to make an observation. Since I was 18 years old and a freshman college student at Portland State, for some reason I have enjoyed and been unusual, particularly on my peers when I was a teenager, for an example, getting home in time to watch William F. Buckley on Channel 10 debate people. I was just somehow captured by the art of the spoken word when it was done eloquently. And as I've grown older, when Richard Nixon resigned and Gerald Ford became president and he nominated Nelson Rockefeller to take his place, I was transfixed watching Channel 10 have the congressional hearings confirming Nelson Rockefeller as the vice president. And it was just the art of the debate that I just really loved. And Nelson Rockefeller, I thought, was just a wonderful example of an eloquent speaker. As I grew older and cable became more available to all of us, I note on my calendar when Parliament is in session on C-SPAN so I can watch the debates to this day in Parliament. I'm just transfixed by the, not just the history of it, but the majesty of the spoken word and the eloquence of all the speakers. I noted when Commissioner Fish first arrived on council, he would come in with prepared remarks. He would read his remarks. And I've noticed in the last 6 or 7 months he has matured from that with his self-confidence, gaining more and more each council. And I mean this quite seriously, because all of us do that. When you're new, as Mayor Clark will tell you, when you're new, it is unnerving to all of a sudden be in front of cameras and people watching, and you need to have something to allow you to focus yourself on what you want to say. But as you do this a while and you gain some self-assurance, you become it becomes easier to give remarks. I don't know if you intend to keep a video archive of your history in public service, but if you do, I would recommend that you quickly capture the video of your remarks here today. They were inspirational. They were I've served in the state Senate, in the state House, and here, and I've always said what I missed about the legislature was the great classical debates that I love to engage in. And you certainly, I've never heard a better speech. It was absolutely
high praise.
It's coming from one who appreciates good argument. I don't mean in the sense of heated argument, but in the classical sense. Wonderful remarks, and right on. And I'm very proud to serve with you, and very proud to work with somebody who thinks the way that you do, which I greatly appreciate. I was listening going home last night to NPR, and I didn't think Stephen Ying would be here, so but maybe he's going to correct me. But the person being interviewed said, you know, in the Chinese language, the word for chaos is the same word for opportunity. And I just thought that what a remarkable observation that, and Commissioner Fish alluded that in his remarks, that in this really challenging time, it really kind of is telling about how people view the world. Some people have a hard time getting up in the morning and moving on. Others view it accurately so as an opportunity. And so that particular observation by you, Commissioner Fish, it just resonates with me, and I think resonates very much in the Chinese culture, which I've always admired and appreciated, and particularly for that kind of a reason. Because I agree, I think this is a real opportunity to do something unique and foresighted and above all humanitarian. It deserves to be said. I mean, I think that we oftentimes do these things in isolation of other things that we consider up here. I voted against the sit and lie ordinance, and not because I philosophically disagree that there should be a sit and lie ordinance, but because where do people go to when you tell them to move on? If they don't have any place to go to, they go to another block and sit down or somebody else's neighborhood. So I so much appreciate Mayor Clark and Doreen Binders, your work and focus on this. And I think with your work, I could actually get to the place that someday, if the facilities were available and if we had the humanitarian side of law enforcement that this RAC Center will create, to be able to support sit and lie. And I think we all agree with that. So thank you, everybody, that's doing the work on this. I feel greatly relieved knowing that Commissioner Fish has picked this up after Commissioner Stan left. And I did feel somewhat on the spot to make sure that I was clear and vocal that this project was going to happen. I don't have any of those feelings anymore because I'm just comforted by Nick's eloquent commitment and all of your support of what we're doing. So it's a real, I think, great day in Portland, and I think it speaks so well of us as a community that this is a project really to help the most helpless and to help the people without voices, and that we're doing it and we're doing it in the right way. And I'm just really proud to be here and be able to support this today. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I want to certainly commend Commissioner Fish for his leadership on this and also acknowledge the prior leadership of Commissioner Sten in really spearheading this project. We've come a long way. It looks like we're on the brink of actually getting this built, and I want to acknowledge all the citizens, Mayor Clark, Harriet, and others who've spent a lot of time facilitating discussions and making this, as Commissioner Fritz noted today, a very harmonious council meeting on this topic. And the next step is to break some ground, and we'll figure out how to fund this somehow. Aye.
Adams.
I want to as well commend Commissioner Fish and Housing Authority of Portland team, the Portland Development Commission, the Bureau, soon to be Bureau of Housing, and all the partners involved in making this happen. It has been on the agenda since I started work here in 1995. So to see it happen and to see it done in such a quality way, Commissioner Fish, I commend you. And as Commissioner Saltzman mentioned, acknowledging the initial work by Commissioner Sten, your need for operating resources is real, and I know your commitment is genuine. You're not alone in that. I'll work with everyone on council and in the community to help you find the operating funds to make this happen. And as Commissioner Leonard alluded to, we've never had a real day access center connected with programs to get people off the street. And at a time when the county is looking at a minimum cut of $55 million, presents significant challenges to all residents in this city. Making this project always urgent, even that much so. So with the Day Access Center and everything else, this has never been needed more. Happy to vote aye. Aye. All right. That gets us to council item number 83. Good work, Nick.
Thank you.
Amend contract with Hahn and Associates, Inc. for additional work and compensation for the Brownfield Investment Fund being used on the Southeast Ankeny Brownfield project.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Well, thank you, Mayor. And in light of Commissioner Leonard's moving speech a minute ago, I'm embarrassed to admit that after 10 years, I'm still using talking points, written talking points. The Brownfield Investment Fund was approved by City Council in June of 2006. It created the first city-funded loan program for the cleanup of Brownfield properties. And I would note this was one of Mayor Adams' initiatives. The Southeast Ankeny Street Brownfield project is the pilot of the $500,000 fund managed by the Portland Brownfield Program in the Bureau of Environmental Services. The contract amendment is required because the existing contract with Hahn and Associates does not allow for costs to exceed $100,000. The city's contribution to the cleanup project is $500,000, so an amendment is necessary to allow for these expenses. This is not a request for additional funding. The fund is already allocated and was approved by Council in 2006. This is a loan and will be repaid to the city plus interest. So cleaning up the site will make 2 acres of contaminated property available for high-density development in the Central Gateway District. Clark Henry is here from the Bureau of Environmental Services if anybody has any questions. But I do, this is an emergency, so I believe we need
another vote.
Another council member here.
So if we could pause maybe on this item and read item
eight.
Well, there he is. We're ready to go.
Okay.
Is there anyone that wish? Is anyone signed up to testify?
I didn't have a sign-up sheet for this.
Is anyone in the room that wants to testify on this Brownfield Investment Fund change? Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fish.
Aye.
Fritz.
As the new commissioner in charge of the Office of Healthy Working Rivers, I've learned a lot about brownfields and redevelopment in the last 3 weeks, and I expect to learn more. This is an example of some foresight for the previous councils in allocating this $500,000, which is available as a loan and will be paid back with interest, and will put this new property, this property back into useful, into uses that will generate property taxes. So it's an all-around win-win, and it's commendable work. Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman. And I vote aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Great to see this moving forward. Aye. Item number 84.
Authorize a contract and provide for payment for construction of the digester expansion project at the Columbia Boulevard Wastewater Treatment Plant, project number E08106.
This is a second reading, vote only. Please call the roll.
Fish?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Item number 85.
Assess property for sidewalk repair by the Bureau of Maintenance.
Auditor Blackmer would, or staff, give us a quick overview.
I'm Dan Broom with Maintenance Operations.
And Sharon Simmer from the City Auditor's Office.
And there are no further remonstrances at this time, so we would like to make a motion to move this ordinance to the second reading.
So this is the first hearing. Any questions from Council? Hearing none.
So moved.
I think it automatically moves.
Yeah.
Just passed. We appreciate the spirit. item number 85 moves to next week for a second reading. Unless there's any other business of the council, we remain recessed until tomorrow at 2 p.m.
Okay. Good job on the jail system.